Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and a very good morning to you. This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with two wonderful doctors in the studio today. I have Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Christine Brazel.
Good morning, everyone.
And Christine, you're going to have to do your Samira Umat imitation this morning because
absolutely not.
I'm not very good at it.
I am not allowed to talk about that.
Can't get my voice that high.
There you go. And you can just wave and say hi,
that's
everyone.
Right. Hey,
I'll say hi for Samira.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah,
she's out this weekend.
She's off at a medical meeting this weekend. I sent her away, so she's learning lots of new stuff about laser therapies.
Yeah, I believe Las Vegas. Hopefully it's a little sunnier there than it is here this morning.
I talked to her last night. It was in the 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, yes,
I think
definitely.
We had a high of 66 or something yesterday, and she was 90, yeah. Anyway.
They have pools.
They do.
This is good. Yes. And maybe she'll be in one. So
anyway, let's...
Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
First
of all, let's get the phone number out so that if you've got a question today and you'd like to talk with the doctors, here is that number. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'd love to hear from you and what's going on with your health. And if you've got some symptoms or diagnosis, then simply give us a call and the doctors are ready to talk to you. Phone lines are wide open. 1-800-465-8770. All right, Dr. Mixon, what should we dive into today? What is on the top of your mind?
A couple of things I need to straighten out. Last week, we said that we had a tentative seminar coming up in early November.
Okay.
Turns out that we were not able to get a big enough venue, a place with high enough ceilings and stuff to put in the boom cameras because it's a seminar that we want to film to use on our website later.
Okay.
And so looking for dates, since we couldn't get it put together in time for early November, and then at the end of November you got Thanksgiving, and then between November and Christmas, of course,
nobody
can compete with Santa Claus.
Yeah. I don't know. You're close, Dr. Mixon. But.
And then we've got early January. People are recovering from Christmas time. So we are currently looking at a February date, something before the Super Bowl, because we don't want to compete with the Super Bowl either. And so... So, yeah, we're looking at the end of January, early February now.
Okay.
So,
well, then you're competing with Palm Springs in Arizona.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But, we, there's always something going on.
It's impossible
to find a time when nobody else is competing.
That's right. But the holidays, that's the best place. That's the best one to
So we're going to be looking at, at putting something together. So we did get a couple of emails from people saying, no, they were going to be there. And so I figured I better start today's show by reminding them, no, you can't be there because we won't be there. We were trying to put it together, but it just was too many moving parts, and the venues that would work just are not available.
All right.
So much for that housekeeping.
All right. So in the new year, we will let you know.
In the new year, there will be at least one, and I'm thinking actually two or three seminars that are subject specific. But that one is going to be on updates between the early days at Longevity Medical Clinic and the things we can do now about the aging process and longevity that we couldn't do 26, 27 years ago when I opened the clinic.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
1997. So that would be, what, wow. 3 and 4, 7? Yeah, so 27 years ago.
Wow. So. All right. And I noticed that upstairs, very busy. They're getting ready for something going on this morning. We've been talking about it at all three of our clinics, and maybe Dr. Brazel can fill us in on all the excitement today.
The gallery fair today.
Yeah, that's what we have going on upstairs. We have our wonderful team, and then of course the gallery team coming to do the blood draws for patients that want to do the test, whether they're our clinical patients already or would be considering becoming our clinical patients or just want to have the information from the Grail. It's a fantastic test. We have some patients going for their third time. It's recommended to do this annually for scary cancer screening, as they like to call it. The simple screening is the things you still want to do through your primary care doctor. And then you'll talk to a provider, hear about the results and where to go next if there's any questions or concerns.
Yeah, I just heard last night, too, that we just had another positive Grail test for a hematologic cancer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So, and that's what it's about, getting the information.
Yeah, finding cancers that would not otherwise be detected. Yeah. 50 different cancers we're screening for.
Yeah,
and so we're able to find things that have never been able to find early before. Always in the past, when your pancreatic cancer or your ovarian cancer showed up, it showed up because it had already spread and your lifespan was frequently measured in months at that point. Now, with the Grail test, we're able to find things long before any symptoms show up. And that gives us a much better shot at curing you and saving your life. So we love when people will come in and get the Grail test done.
Very good. And Dr. Mixon already had a phone caller this morning wanting to know, because it is today, do you need an appointment? Is it too late to get signed up? What do you know?
I don't know if it's too late. Please call the front desk.
Okay.
It depends on the clinic you're going to. They might be able to squeeze you in. Most people have had an appointment, but I don't believe we want to turn people away if they get there early enough.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just a matter of you have to have a spot we can kind of sneak you in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let me give you that number. That is our 1-866-86-YOUNG. That is the number to go to call. So if you are wanting to make that appointment, please call in and we'll see if we can get you scheduled. 1-866-86-YOUNG for the gallery test in Tacoma, Linwood, and in Kirkland today. All right. So let's see what else is on our agenda, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Brazel.
Well, you know, there was an article that came across my desk a day or two ago about a gentleman who showed up in the emergency room with a racing heartbeat, fluttering trembling hands, a panicky feeling as though he were about to die. And they worked him up for his heart attack and stuff, and he didn't have that. And what they did discover was that he was in thyrotoxicosis. In other words, he had way too much thyroid hormone in his system.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had been treated for low thyroid decades ago. He's been on medication 35 years or so, and his levels have been stable, and he's been fine. But it turns out what happened was the guy got in the new medications for weight loss.
Oh.
And he lost 86 pounds.
Wow. So he was not the same patient as he was.
He lost one-third of his body weight.
Okay.
And the consequence of that was the dose that was just great for him before was now a toxic level. And so, you know, these weight loss drugs are very, very good. They're very important. I love the fact that for the first time in history, we're actually going to get more than 3% of the population to actually lose the weight and keep it off for a year or more. But the downside of that is you really need to go in and have your physician go over your medication list carefully and make sure that the doses you needed when you were heavier are not the doses you need now. Otherwise, Dr. Mixon's first rule, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. Mm. And all of our medications can do damage if the levels get too high.
Okay. So if you're on a weight loss journey, and you've lost 10 or 15 pounds, of course, the nurse or doctor will notice that. But it's probably best if the patient brings it up, saying, I'm losing weight.
Yes.
And have them check with
the meds. Can we go over my medications?
Good idea.
Because usually when you go to your primary care doctor, they want a list of what you're taking. But nobody sits down and goes through that list for you medicine by medicine and asks you about possible adverse effects. They just want a list of what you're on for their chart, but it needs to be more than that.
Yeah. And these days we have so many different providers and we change medications frequently. We add supplements. We stop things because they don't feel good and we forget to tell people or we change our dose. Mm-hmm. So at Longevity, as many of our patients know, we've changed to electronic medical records this year and we need to update every patient chart by hand. So even though we had some of the information, we do actually have to diligently cross-check with every patient. Are you still on this medication? Is this the dose? Who's prescribing this? So that we make a note, is it your cardiologist, your PCP? And then I can speak directly to the patient and say, hey, can you ask your cardiologist to change your blood pressure med? It isn't working very well. Or maybe they're getting too much. They've been losing weight with our programs.
And now they're getting lightheaded when they stand up.
Yep, yes, we do have that. Why. Or the urologist is giving you one thing and your cardiologist is giving you another and they both drop your blood pressure and you're wondering why you're feeling a little dizzy in the morning. And so we need to hear about this to tell you to go back to the provider that's prescribing it or let you know what to watch out for if we're concerned as well. So even though we're not going to take on those prescriptions, we can help guide better choices or avoiding those adverse events.
Wow, that's good to know. Yeah. Good to know. Makes a big difference.
But for our active patients, please help us update your charts. So please bring in your printed list of what you're on from your other docs.
Okay. And the problem is we had one electronic medical record. We switched to a new one. The techie people swear that they are able to import everything from the old to the new, but in the reality, it doesn't always happen.
Okay.
And so we're all just kind of scratching our heads, trying to figure out, all right, what didn't work?
That's right. Unfortunately, of course, every doctor we go to has a different system and they're all blocked. So I can't just tap into your chart over at UW and see what you're doing and download it. You have to tell me yourself because we don't have passwords or entry into those other systems.
Okay.
So, and that is unfortunately for the patient, the responsibility every time. And nobody likes this. So don't think the doctors are having any fun.
That's right.
Either.
Yes.
So it's a burden that has to be addressed. But at this time, the safest way to do it is just be repetitive and carry your list with you and update it frequently.
Yep.
Very good. All right, we're going to go to our first break in just a moment. Let me go ahead and get that phone number for you. The number to call us today on Leading Edge Medicine is 1-866. Whoops, I almost gave our 1-866-86-YOUNG number. No, live radio today. We are here in the studio with Dr. Right. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Christine Brazel. And here is that number to get through with your questions. Now is a great time. The phone lines are open for you at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. You hear the music. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Welcome back.
Yep.
Okay. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we also have Dr. Christine Brazel as our guest doctor today. So welcome to the studio. And you wanted to start off the program by talking about the heart. So let's dive in and let me give that phone number real quick again. 1-800-465-8770. You can call in with your questions right now and get in line with the phone. So
before we go into the heart,
yes,
let me do one other little housekeeping chore. And that is, you know, everybody knows that we're moving towards live stream.
Yes.
So that they can actually see this program instead of just listening to it. And the fact is right now we are recording the program. It's all being videoed. So we are on camera but it's not being live streamed. We are going to save it. We'll probably use some of this stuff at a future date. The only thing that's holding us up right now is that music you just heard.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That music we cannot put on Facebook.
Yes, and YouTube.
And we can't live stream. It can't go on you. It can't go on YouTube or anywhere else online. The license is only for radio.
Oh.
And we're having real difficulty finding music that we can license for both all of the platforms on online, so we could put our show on 5-6 different platforms, but we have to have legal licenses to use the music. And so I hate to drop off and have no music for this show.
Right. We love that.
Or just have little chimes or something to go ding dong, time for a break.
How about a live band, Dr. Mixon?
Yeah,
have you thought of that?
There's no room in here
no,
for that.
No.
And so, yeah, that's our holdup. So we are hoping to have something figured out by next week, because other than that, we are ready to start live streaming this show.
Yes.
And if you want to see the show, I hope starting next week, assuming we're able to license something so we stay out of trouble with the copyright people, you'll just go to YouTube and then you go to Longevity Medical Clinic channel. So
there you go. And if that sounds confusing to you, you can also go to our website and we should have a link there that will take you right to it. So we'll try to make it as simple as possible, but we're just pretending that we are on camera because we are.
We are
recording.
You just can't see us quite yet, but I'm hoping for next week. It's just a matter, like I said, it seems silly, but our holdup is music licensing.
Yes, yes. So we want to play by the rules so we don't get kicked off before we jump in.
Actually, what happens is YouTube and most of the big platforms, if you get 3 copyright complaints, they shut down your program.
You're done.
Permanently, you're done.
Yeah.
And so we don't want any copyright complaints.
No, we play by the rules.
Yeah, so we are looking around to see how we can do this. I don't mind paying some fees, but I at least need to know there are some fees I can pay to make it work.
Yes. So we're hoping. In the meantime, we'll just keep recording and let's talk about the heart. Dr. Mixon and Dr. Brazel here from Longevity Medical Clinics.
Yeah. And I'm going to begin and then I'm going to kick it off to Christine here.
Okay.
Dr. Dean Ornish, back in the 1990s, about 94, 95, he published a book on how to reverse cardiovascular disease. And the book did not sell. In fact, his publisher came to him and said, Doc, you put a lot of time and effort. You got lots of good information here, but nobody's buying the book. But the publisher had noticed that in the book, one of the comments that Dr. Ornish had made was, this is going to save your life, and in the process, you're going to lose weight. And so what the publisher suggested was, let's go back, redo the book, and we're going to change the emphasis and change the title. And so instead of being on how to reverse heart disease and save your life, they called it Eat More, Weigh Less. And they put the focus on losing weight.
Ah.
Now, Americans would buy a book on how to lose weight, just not on how to save their life. And so the thrust of the book became, here's how you eat and you will lose weight. Oh, and in this, as a side effect, you'll save your life. So that was his first big hit book. Now, since then, that actually got him nationally known. And he has put out several books since then. One of them is called Reversing Heart Disease. And it's actually a book that gives you a lifestyle and dietary plan that you can use to actually open up those arteries in your neck, in your heart, out in the periphery, in your legs and so on, and get better blood supply to your brain, your heart, your kidneys, and your distal extremities. And so this has now been well established since the late 90s. He started publishing arteriograms showing blood vessels that had been almost totally occluded that were now open and blood flowing beautifully. Back in 98, the year after I opened this clinic, he put his first arteriograms up online. So this is not fringe medicine, but I'm shocked that it's not done in every hospital and every cardiologist in the country, because they're doing lots of arteriograms, they're putting in stents, they're doing coronary bypass surgeries, they're doing all these things that fix one specific lesion here or there, but the general arterial tree is continuing to be diseased and get worse and worse and worse over time. And we actually know how to turn that around. Mm-hmm. We actually know how to open those vessels back up. And so one of the things that Dr. Braslow and I have been chatting about, and she's been out doing a fair bit of research on for us, is shouldn't we be putting together a program specifically aimed at those people that have had a stent or a cardiac surgery, or they're getting angina medicines because their vessels are narrow? Shouldn't we be able to offer them something to reverse their cardiovascular disease? And that's the program we're kind of putting together. And so that's what we'll chat about a little bit now. And if you're one of those people that have heart disease, you had a stent put in sometime in the past, or you're on angina medicines, mm-hmm. You're limited for exercise, mm-hmm. you might want to give us a call and chat about it, because Ornish published books decades ago. But there's no substitute for actually having a doctor work with you, monitor it, alter your medications, alter your diet, alter your lifestyle, and actually then follow along and watch your vessels open up.
Mm. Well, one of the things that we really focus on here at the clinic specifically, my patients know this, is the cardiovascular disease is a long road. And you can usually identify the risk factors for developing a serious cardiovascular disease in your 40s and 50s. A lot of it is family history. Some of it is smoking history. Some of it is other things that happen. Unfortunately, we're just starting to see the pileup of years of lifestyle choices, medication problems, COVID, unfortunately, causing a lot of what I just say pileup in the system, and it comes out in the arteries. So we get more hypertension, more high cholesterol, more high blood sugar, more CRP, which is that inflammation marker we check at our mm-hmm. quarterly blood draw, more homocysteine, more insulin that goes with that visceral fat. These are all markers that we target regularly with our program, and we can monitor them change every 3 months. So that's the sitting down with the doctor is, what do I have? What can I do about it? And did I do something about it? And then we work on what you did or didn't do to keep making your results better with these guidelines, our optimal ranges. We can't all fit in, but we get close to them. And a lot of the information from Dr. Ornish, it's old but true, and people want a new thing, but sometimes the new thing is revisiting the old thing that always worked that no one ever wanted to do.
Yes. Well, and, you know, I just pulled some papers this past week mm-hmm. on survival with cardiovascular disease and something as simple as exercise.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for doctors to address, because we have no control over getting you up out of your chair. Mm-hmm. And out walking or hiking or rowing or swimming or doing something vigorous. How do we do that? I can write a prescription for it. You know, tell you, yep, I want you to do, you know, 3 miles a day, every day, 5 days a week, but I can't make you do it. And so that's one of our biggest weaknesses, because just that makes an enormous difference. I saw a great article showing that people that are overweight, that are even obese, who exercise, still decrease the type of fat they've got. They may still be heavy, but when you see those great big heavy people, you know, struggling to get down the trail, that actually changes the inflammatory markers that are triggered by that abdominal fat. The exercise itself, the myokines produced by the working muscle, counteract the pro-inflammatory cytokines produced by the fat.
I think, what's that old expression they have, move it or lose it?
Move it or lose yes. it. Yeah, of course, it's better to move it and lose it.
Yeah. Well, in this case, we're talking about losing our ability to do basic things. And we yes. know we have people that have injuries and they're getting their knee replaced because they've been so active. And that's a little bit different. We don't want you to overdo that. But most people are under moving.
Yes,
and
they are.
I have patients who are concerned about over-exercise, and I'd say about 80% of people are not at risk of over-exercise at this time.
And in fact, I just saw a graphic. I should bring it in and put it up one of these weeks. The more exercise you do, the longer you live, and the healthier you are, and you're less risk of heart attacks and strokes and dementia and diabetes and all these things. But the curve goes down and down and down and down and down. But at extreme exercise, we're talking about people who are running
marathons.
10, 12 miles a day, 3 to 5 days a week. They actually, the curve starts going back up.
Ah, so that's an interesting point you bring up about cardiovascular health and exercise, because the people who are most surprised that they have cardiovascular disease are my very lean, very athletic patients who can hit the trail, either it's bike or running, for those long periods. And they can get cardiovascular disease. They just don't feel the symptoms.
Right.
And we do send them out. And I will point out to them, I still want you to get your heart checked. There still might be some buildup from the stress hormone from the long run, the blood pressure changes, and getting your muscles depleted from all the glucose can lead to some stress chemicals over the long run. Yeah. So they're always surprised that that there's something that we found in there.
Human beings are not designed to run marathons.
No.
We are not. Okay, we are designed to be active, and we're designed to walk long distances and run moderate to short distances. I don't get worried when I see people running 5-6 miles three times a week, but 26 miles is more than humans are really designed. I point out that we call this thing the marathon. The way this race, this 26.2 or 26.3 mile race got its name was there was the Battle of Marathon fought by the Spartans. Okay. And the battle lasted 3 days. So these men were out flailing away at each other with sword and shield and spear for 3 straight days. At the end of 3 days of fighting, one of the warriors was dispatched to go back to Sparta and let them know that they had won. So he ran 26.3 miles from the battle site, 26.2 miles, okay, from the battle site. And he ran through the gates of Sparta, raised his sword in the air, and shouted, "Nike," which means victory.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And dropped dead.
Yes.
Oh.
And the drop dead part they like to leave out.
Yeah, they like to, they like to leave out the fact that the man after whom we name that run died at the end of the run. Now,
There's a lesson there.
There's a lesson, because what we have now know is that when you do blood tests on the people that run marathons, every one of those marathon runners have elevated troponins. That means they're killing heart muscle. We aren't designed to run that far that fast. And when you do, even if you are a highly trained, lean, fit guy who runs marathons a few times a year, you actually are killing some heart muscle every time you do it.
Something
you can overdo a good thing.
Yes. You absolutely can. There's some studies I read years ago about marathoners having a lot of scar tissue in their heart on autopsy.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, let's talk more about the heart when we get back. And let me give you that phone number. Okay, so if you'd like to join us live on the show today, here is the number to call. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. You can talk about the heart or maybe your own diagnosis, maybe some symptoms that you're dealing with. We'd love to talk with you today on Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and our special guest, Dr. Christine Brazel. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. more Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and our special guest, Dr. Christine Brazel. Today, we are focusing on the heart, or at least during this segment. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear it. So let's continue with the conversation.
So Jerry and I were just talking about the benefits of exercise, which are tremendous, and are we continue to understand through the metabolome, which is measuring all the different metabolites that are in the bloodstream, the effects on the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, the muscles, insulin resistance. We're all hearing about chronic inflammation. We're all hearing about, but we don't know what it really means, and we don't know where it starts. And one way to get rid of most of it is through daily exercise as much as possible. Usually for most people, 30 to 60 minutes of a dedicated exercise as opposed to just busyness is recommended depending on your capacity level and your goals for weight loss. But there are people who take it a little too far, and maybe they feel good taking it a little far, whether or not they're looking really good for bodybuilding or looking really good crossing the finish line. And there's an understanding now in the medical community that those folks also need to be looking at their cardiovascular health because of damage to the tissue from overdoing it chronically, either through very long or very intense exercise.
Yeah. Well, and taking it from a guy who has used his body heavily for,
yes, you have.
For the last 77 years. Yeah, there's wear and tear and damage and injuries. In fact, I'm due for a little surgery on October 3rd. Because I have managed through the decades to get enough damage on one of my vertebral bodies. I was born with a little S-curve scoliosis, lower spine.
Okay.
And so that side where it's kinked, that is over the years now narrowed down and is pinching my L4 nerve.
And it's so
right
hard
side.
To treat that effectively.
I've done everything I know how to do with it. But what's happened to me is I love running about 3 miles in the morning before the sun comes up. You know, I get up at 5 and I have breakfast and then I go out and I do my little morning run. But about 6 months ago, every time my right foot hit the ground at a run, I had an electric shock flying up my thigh into my right side of my buttock.
Oh, wow.
And, you ever touched an electric fence out in the country? Yeah, well, when you get that with every time your right foot hits the ground, you want to slow down. So for the last several months, I've been walking my 3 miles in the morning instead of running. And I want to go back to running, but I've just been kind of stuck. So we're going to go in and I'm going to have one of my favorite orthopods go in and do a little microsurgery and use a laser to vaporize some bone that's right now impinging on that nerve and give the nerve a little more room.
So I can tell you from experience, I had a microdiscectomy about, it was 2010, I believe it was. And there's nothing that can clear your schedule like an unexpected spinal surgery. So the goal is to do this before you do it unexpectedly, is to plan for it.
That's
because it really limits what you can do for quite a while. Thankfully, I had a fantastic neurosurgeon. This was in Arizona, so I don't even think he's working anymore. I can't give you his number. But if you are in Arizona, it's Dr. Marciano. Woohoo! Thank you so much. Because here I am years later, pain-free, flexible, but keeping the pain away was the exercise. It wasn't the surgery. It wasn't the drugs. It was keeping my weight down. It was doing stretching exercise, getting some specialty body work for realignment, and just keep moving. Those slow, silly exercises your physical therapist gives you actually work if you do them.
Yes.
Okay. But you have to do them. And they're small, but they make such a difference in the long run for those alignments.
Yeah. All right. Would you like to take some calls? We've got
some folks wanting
to talk about this very thing. All right. We're going to go to Anne. Anne is calling in from Seattle, and she wants to talk about the exercise resistance. Hi there, Anne. Welcome.
Hello, Anne.
Hello. So I have a question. I was listening to one of these late night health programs, the BBC. Well, they're late night for here. The BBC runs. And I heard about a study published in, I believe it's Nature Medicine, about selenoproteins. These are proteins where cysteine residues have been replaced with cysteine that has selenium added to it. Okay. And they're, if I remember the takeaway to this study, the more of these proteins you have floating around in your muscle, the less, the harder time you have generating working muscle in response to exercise. Mm-hmm. And the less of them you have, the easier it is to generate working muscle and not to generate fat. Of course, these studies were done in mice, you know. Now, mice are a good model of anything. But I wondered if you knew anything about exercise, you know, what you knew about exercise resistance and the research that's going on about it, because if that one panned out, it would be an excellent drug target, actually.
Well, actually, we have a drug target. We have a drug that targets this process quite nicely. The drug is called dasatinib, and it's used with a supplement called quercetin. The underlying reason why you get this mismade proteins is the buildup of senescent cells in the muscle. And I guess I talked a good bit about senescent cells last week, but let me recap it very quickly this week. Every cell in your body, your muscle, your bone, your skin, your gut, your brain, every cell in your body has an expected lifespan. And it's supposed to do its job for a certain amount of time. And then when it gets the end of its lifespan, it's supposed to kind of break apart. We call it autophagy. And it's then replaced with a new cell. But some cells get to the end of their expected lifespan, and instead of dying and being replaced, they become senile. They are senescent cells. Even in the medical literature, physicians refer to them as the zombie cells because they have a great a similarity to the zombies in the movies, and that is that these are no longer living functional cells, just like the zombies aren't living functional human beings, and they actually convert healthy cells into zombie cells, just like the zombies in the movies convert living people into zombies. And so we have always made these cells even when we were young. But when we were young, our very active immune system found and destroyed these cells very quickly. And so we didn't build them up. As we age and become more sedentary with slower metabolisms, we start making senescent cells faster and faster, and our immune system clears them slower and slower. And so somebody in their 50s and 60s may have 30, 40 times more senescent cells than a young person. And the senescent cells not only don't work themselves, they actually excrete chemicals that alter the protein production of healthy cells and help the healthy cells to become senescent themselves. So it's kind of a cascade effect.
Unfortunately, however, we have noticed, because we've been doing this senescent cell therapy for about 4 years now in the clinics, is it doesn't seem to help the joints very much when you're talking about arthritis. It probably has to do with the barrier around the tissue. They're very slow to heal, as everyone knows, and require some of the more direct therapies, but it can make the tissue around that joint more responsive to that therapy, because removing that cellular debris is one of the inhibiting factors for the fibroblasts to get in and start doing their cellular repair.
I think there's a
So I have a question. So dasatinib, that's the drug you're talking about, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's a tyrosine kinase inhibitor, yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. It's the one I'm thinking of. It's also used in treating chronic myelogenous leukemia.
Absolutely. And that's it. That's its primary function. Yeah. And
not all of our patients can use this, to be clear. We have a very strict screening process to make sure that the right patient is matched up with the right treatment.
But this is a drug that is designed to be used in people with, as you said, chronic myelogenous leukemia. And so they take the drug every day, 100 milligrams a day, every day for years at a time. We give it for 3 days. Yeah. But we only give it for 3 days. And then we give it a 4-day break. We give it 3 days. So a total of 9 days, you knock down the senescent cells by about 70%. So
That's kind of what I thought. So, but it must be that kind of a treatment regime, because even though tyrosine kinases aren't involved in as many cell lineages as, say, serine kinases when it comes to cell division,
right,
it's still it's still, you know, they're involved in enough that, you know, they're significant.
They do a good job on senescent cells. The problem, of course, is not everybody can tolerate them because these are very potent medications. And some people, you know, take one dose and they're just absolutely incapacitated. And so we have to warn folks. The vast majority of people do well with it. You know, by the third day, I get kind of headachy and tired, but that's the limit of the adverse effect on me.
But. Yeah. Okay. Well, that clears up because I knew that somebody had to be, you know, that's just too good a target to miss.
Yes,
it is. And unfortunately, that particular set of proteins ranges all throughout the body. So the target isn't, even though it goes the right direction, it's not as specific as I would like it to be if I were investing in a drug target.
Yeah, well, it's not as specific as we would like, period. And there is a lot of research looking for new, less toxic drugs to do this.
Yeah.
But right now, there's good studies on rodents and dogs, but the human studies, we still have our best data with the dasatinib.
Okay.
So as soon as they get better drugs out, we'll switch to them.
Yeah. And I, by the way, I left with your call screener an answer about your licensing dilemma. I'm a musician, and so I actually appreciate it when people obey the copyright laws because I own enough of those copyrights.
Very good.
But I left an answer for you there, recommendation.
All right. Thank you so much, Anne.
We appreciate it.
All right, and thank you for the call.
Thanks for answering my question, and now I understand about the dasatinib. I know someone who takes it for the other reason.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good
bye-bye.
Day.
All right. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Jerry Mixon and our special guest, Dr. Christine Brazel. So stay right there. And if you'd like to call in, just like Ann did, here is our number to get through today live in the studio. It's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be back in just a moment. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got to hear. Oh, I feel good. Oh, and we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and we're so glad you tuned in on this wonderful weekend. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Christine Brazel. And we've been talking about the heart, and it looks like we've got some callers that are wanting to talk about the heart as well. Let me give you that phone number right now. That is 1-800-465-8770. You can call now and get in the call queue. All right, calling in from Seattle, we have John on the line. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello, John.
Good morning. Thank you, doctors. So I've recently been told that I have an enlarged heart and that the cause is from, let me see, how do they say it here? My testosterone therapy, which I'm under Dr. Pentland's supervision for a year and a half. He's been doing great. But this Western medicine trained oncologist made that statement that the cardiomegaly, whatever it is, was caused by testosterone.
That's silly. He's an oncologist, good cancer doctor, but apparently doesn't know a whole lot about testosterone metabolism in the heart. You know, there's generally a couple of reasons to get cardiomegaly. One of them is basically an overuse syndrome. And these are, you know, the world-class athletes, the people that are indeed beating their heart up, trying to run, you know, mile after mile after mile after mile, far more than humans were supposed to. And
not me.
Yeah, that's right. And that's actually the healthiest way to get a cardiomegaly because that, those people, their heart doesn't beat very fast. They're beating about 40 times a minute, and they're pumping enormous amounts of blood with each stroke because they, you know, they've enlarged their heart in response to the great demands on it. More common is actually a heart that is responding to high blood pressure, and it never really gets to rest because the blood pressure is too high, is pumping against a higher gradient than it should have to. And that can result in enlargement of the heart. And then the third and scariest one is the person who's going into congestive heart failure, and the heart is kind of flaccid and the walls simply can't contract efficiently anymore. And I guess there is a fourth group, and those are people that have laid down fibrous tissue, connective tissue in the heart. So, you know, if your heart is significantly large, we need to know why. Testosterone tends to actually lower blood pressure, not raise it, tends to dilate your arteries so the heart doesn't have to work as hard to do its job. So, Christine, you're gesturing something. What do you...
I was just pointing to, I was going to share a study with you on your computer if you want to open it. But for most men, when you have the lower testosterone over a long period of time, that leads to the tissue, senescing, as we were talking about earlier. And that leads to the precipitating events that might turn into congestive heart failure, cardiac myopathies, the blood pressure changes, and the inability for the heart to maintain elasticity. Men don't feel good. They go on testosterone therapy. They start feeling better, but their heart stuff hasn't been corrected. Then they get a cardiologist going, oh, look what the testosterone did. And the testosterone probably alleviated some symptoms, but couldn't correct the underlying condition, which has been progressing for years. So your doctor isn't wrong in the sense that 20 years ago they thought testosterone caused these problems, but like with women and hormone replacement, we now know the lack of the testosterone and estrogen for women were the cause of the problems. By the time people got on replacement, the damage had already been done.
Think of it this way: when you bought your car, the tires all had enough air pressure, and somewhere along the way, if that air started leaking out and you started running your tires with lower and lower air pressure, you started flexing that sidewall, and one day, after some period of time, you had a blowout. Well, the blowout is where the problem is now developed, and trying to add air at this point doesn't do much good, because now you got a hole in the tire. All right, we see that with human beings a lot, in that we ignore our bodies, we let our hormone levels drop, we don't exercise, we eat too much, we are far too sedentary, we develop diseases, then they say, oh, I need to do this, that, or the other. The problem is, you've already developed the disease. Once you develop the disease, the interventions that help you to prevent disease don't necessarily fix the disease that's already developed. It takes different stuff to fix a problem than it does to present or prevent a problem.
And then, of course, oncologists, what most people don't know about, most cancer treatment causes heart disease and heart failure. So one of the biggest risks for getting treated for many cancers is actually heart failure, as we were talking about. And they are now aware how many people that aren't surviving cancer is not because the cancer treatment didn't work. It's that it worked so well that their heart failed.
Yes.
And that's a big problem. So if you're talking to your oncologist about this, I think is what you said, there might be something more to do with the damage that many of these treatments cause. And you have to do them. You have to survive the cancer, but you can repair a lot of that damage through nutritional intervention, lifestyle changes that we talked about, and some very specific targeted therapies that are not pharmaceutical that can help recover from this damage.
Okay. If you don't mind, just a couple of quick comments. Sure. I was prescribed with a Merkel cell carcinoma last January, and he reached out to some friends, ended up being advised by a retired naturopath from Alexandria, Virginia. Part of the program was hyperbaric oxygen treatments, did 3 weeks, 5 days a week of that. In short, we cured. The same scan that showed the enlarged heart showed that the Merkel cell is now in full remission. So all that is good.
Congratulations. However,
pardon?
Congratulations.
Thanks. And the other good news is that I had open heart surgery found and referred by Dr. Maiden, Dr. Mixon. Great.
Yeah. Reuben Maiden is my favorite cardiologist, by the way.
Yes. And so I'm trying to get back in to see him as soon as I can get on a schedule to see what to do in my case. I'm 80 years old, but I'm very active. No problem with my health, except on paper.
Just, 80 on the outside, 50 on the inside?
Yeah. I like to think so. But I appreciate it. I'm anxious to hear what Dr. Maiden has to say. I just had no idea what out of nowhere I was getting an enlarged heart. Yeah. Indication.
Well, Dr. Maiden is a big fan of testosterone in older men. He and I visit frequently. And I get him on the show once in a while, too. So hopefully I can get him on here in the next month or so.
And as a matter of fact, when you had him on once, I called in and he listened to my situation at that time, brought me back in and gave me the thumbs up, all clear sign for my heart at that time. So it'll be good to see him again, and hopefully we can get the same thumbs up.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, sir. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, the calls keep coming. We're going to take another one here in just a moment before we take a break. But if you have a question for the doctors, this is the time to call in and get into the call queue at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 before we go to our 9 o'clock break. Let's go to Burien and let's talk to Tom. Hi, Tom. You want to talk heart?
Hello, yes. Tom. I was interested. You were talking about resting heart rates. I'm 80, and my resting heart rate is around 60 or so, and I always assumed that was a good thing. But from what you say, it's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, it depends on why it's 60.
If it can get past 60.
Yeah. You know, the problem we get with older folks who have relatively low heart rates, and by the way, 60 to 100 is considered normal, okay? Under 60 is we call bradycardia, that's slower rate. Over 100 is tachycardia, fast rate. So 60 to 100 is within the normal range. But the question we've got is when you exercise, when you get up and go and walk briskly, does your heart rate come up? Because that's the limiting factor. Sometimes older guys will have a heart rate of 60 or 65. They go out to exercise and they get tired and short of breath because their heart isn't speeding up enough. Because it needs to pump faster to pump more blood as your muscles are demanding oxygen.
There's some medications that can also cause that to happen that make it very difficult for people to exercise. They're usually heart meds and can be reviewed with your doctor if that's a new problem for you.
And some of the older blood pressure medicines, things like the beta blockers, slow the heart rate down and won't let it go fast. So you know, a resting heart rate of 60 doesn't worry me. The question is, when you get out and take a nice brisk walk, now stop, check your pulse, count it, and see what your heart rate is. Because we want your heart to speed up when you put load on it.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I'll try that. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to break right now, and we will return in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine. And if you have a question for the doctors, please feel free to call. Get into the call queue right now about your health, health and changes as you're aging. This is the specialty of the doctors here at Longevity Medical Clinic. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. 465-8770. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay there.